Hey now, welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. It is great to have you on this Monday. Hope you had an amazing weekend. I've got a really good show for you and lots to get to. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Today's show sets up like this. 1-800-636-8686. It is smack off season. You're running out of time. There was some good developments this past Friday, which I'll reset for you. But in the meantime, in order to win that thing, you got to be in that thing. In order to get into that thing, you have to earn your way in. It's invite only. You are running out of time. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. And you know to email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Coming up next segment, an actor and comedian, Kevin Hart. He joins me in about 15 minutes. Top of hour number two, the general manager of the Atlanta Hawks, Travis Schlenk. In the third hour, Notre Dame head football coach, Brian Kelly. So all of that and your telephone calls, I'm going to hammer that phone number one more time. Toll free in the U.S., in Canada, 1-800-636-8686. We'll start with some golf. Four majors. Four majors in a lifetime is incredible. Four majors in 23 months, though, is straight stupid. Freaking ridiculous. Four majors in your last eight starts is mind-blowing. And yet, for some reason, the guy who did that, Brooks Koepka, is not getting a ton of love, not getting a ton of run, not getting a ton of credit. And when he started to bleed out on the back and Dustin Johnson started to make his move, the drunks, gallery at Bethpage could not wait to pile on Koepka and a jock DJ. And what I want to know is, why is that? Why is that? Is it because everybody loves a train wreck and Koepka looked like he was going to pull off one of the biggest tank jobs ever? Or is it because these same people were never with him in the first place? Which brings me back to that question. How the hell does a guy with four majors in his last eight starts not get more love, not get more run than he's currently getting? How are people not losing their collective bleep over it the way they did when the big cat was tearing it up? Is it because Koepka is doing the thing that Tiger did when he was the most famous athlete ever? Why is it that he gets no run, but everybody loved Tiger when he did it? I'm still trying to figure out why that is. Is it because maybe he shredded the course the first few days? Because he shot 63-65 and absolutely dominated your idol, the cat? See, is that what this is about? Is that why you're pissed? Because of that absolute ass-kicking that he put on Woods? Because he personally packed up Elgato's weekend mock turtlenecks and sent him back to the yacht early on Friday? Is that why you're pissed? Is that why you don't care? Or is it because Brooks and Tiger walked and played beside each other for 36 holes this week and he smoked the cap by 17 strokes? 17 strokes. I mean, there are ass kickings and then there are curb stompings and then there's a nationally televised curb stomping. Again, is that why you're pissed? I'm talking about alleged golf fans, right? You know, the ones who saw Koepka smoke the field the first couple of days and then just cried about how stupid his hat looked. I mean, like, you're bent that this guy was that dominant. You're bent that this guy was that boring. Right. All right. I'll follow that argument. I'll go with that logic. It's boring. Yeah, except it was a few weeks back that grown men were sobbing and embarrassing themselves when Tiger won at Augusta. Then Koepka goes out and he out-Tigers Tiger, and a lot of you are like, boring, what a stupid hat, yo. Yeah, so in other words, it's great when Woods is doing it to somebody else, but when it happens to your guy, then the guy doing the curb stomping wears a stupid hat. Again, let me tell you about this guy. When he showed the first sign of weakness on the back nine and it started to get away from him, the fans went in. They started to openly root against him. When he was on that run of four straight bogeys, fans were shouting choke at him. They were chanting Dustin Johnson's name. They reportedly were screaming vulgarities at Koepka's girlfriend. Koepka, though, tough as hell, took all of it in stride.
Brooks, were you surprised, disappointed that the New York golf fans seemed to turn against you there? I mean, you're a baseball guy. Did you feel like you're playing for the Red Sox or something?
It's New York. What do you expect when you're half choking it away?
This guy's tough, man. Really tough. So he rolled with it. He got it. Although his playing partner, Harold Varner III, was not nearly as impressed by the galleries. He said, quote, "It's a pretty crazy day. I thought it was pretty weird how they were telling Brooks to choke. That's not my cup of tea. I was pulling for him after that. I have a few choice words for that." End quote. Either way, it appeared that we were on the precipice of an all-time choke job. And not just for that sport, but for any sport. And it involved the last guy that you would expect to see right in the middle of that. I mean, damn. Could it really happen? Is this machine, this golfing Terminator, actually going to break down on the big stage? Because we have seen that movie before. The leader on the back nine on Sunday makes a bad shot. Then it's two. All of a sudden, he's taking on water, and then he drowns. We've seen that before. It looked like that might happen again, but not with Koepka. Even with the gallery screaming at him, he turned it around. In fact, the gallery did not rattle this guy. It reset him. It didn't break him. It gave him the jolt that he needed. Quote, "I'll tell you what, the hour spent from number 11 to 14 was interesting. When they started chanting DJ on 14, it actually kind of helped. To be honest with you, I think it helped me kind of refocus and hit a good one down 15. End quote. I can see that. It looked as if this guy was going to pull off a choke for the ages, but then he did what legends do. He dug deep. He found a way. This is why he has four trophies. Golf is hard. Major golf is tough. Brooks Koepka is even tougher. And it showed when Dustin Johnson, one of the best golfers on the planet, had a look and he couldn't finish again. You know, at this point, I could say it's pretty easy to bash Johnson. I have. I will again. That dude's got way too much game and stick to be sitting on just one major. But there is a reason why he's got one, and Brooks now has four. But keep in mind, DJ did enter the weekend as the top-ranked golfer in the world. And when he made that run, he had every drunk behind the ropes chanting his name. Yet he was the one that flinched, not Koepka. Because that's what the pressure of a major does to people. Johnson knows that better than anybody else. But it didn't take Koepka down. He likes fuel. Doesn't mean Gowie should be giving it to him. And I'm not going to say who to root for or how to root, but you got to give this guy's respect. He's earned your respect. And it really is kind of insane to me. Like, if you're going to kill somebody like James Harden for not winning a ring, then you better be naming your kids after Brooks Koepka for winning four. In 2 years, to put this in perspective, in case you still want to argue this point, in 2 years, he went from being tied with you and me on the all-time major winners list at zero to blowing right by Jordan Spieth, Vijay Singh, and Ernie Els, and now he's only one back of Phil Mickelson. Phil freaking Mickelson, a guy who's had one of the all-time great careers in golf, and Koepka just pulled behind him on the winners list. Curtis Strange, Ben Crenshaw, really good golfers. Koepka has doubled them up. Tommy Fleetwood, really good golfer right now. He's already looking at Koepka as a role model. Quote, "Brooks gives us something to aim for, in a good way. It'll pull us all up to be better. Definitely for me to have a guy like Brooks to look at, to want to know what he's doing that's better than me. It's only going to help. It's only going to help my career to have that, to aspire to. It's a good thing at the moment, I think." End quote. And one last thing about Koepka, a really important thing. I think a lot of you also don't like this guy because it feels like maybe he doesn't have a passion for it. Maybe it's just too easy for him. It's not like that at all. At all. In fact, it's just the opposite. This was not preordained. This guy was not a huge star in college. This guy had to work his way to the tour. And now when he wins, people find a reason not to like it. Again, what part of that tournament do you want to hold against him? Was he too dominant early on? Or are you going to try to complain that he didn't finish it in the end the way he should have? Or is it because he plays his cards close to his vest? You know, like the same exact thing your idol, the cat, always did? Besides, what are you looking for? Are you looking for a great golfer, or are you looking for a friend? Koepka's job is to be a golfer. He's damn good at that job. He's already one of the best ever at that job. It's time for you to admit it. And put some respect on this guy. He earned it. 1-800-636-8686. And if you're not, is it because he just thrashed your idol? 17 strokes better than the cat, and they came in as co-favorites. All right, in addition to that, I want to talk about the Eastern Conference Finals. Toronto did what they had to do. Somehow, someway, they got through it, and they found a way to win. We'll go back to the Western Conference Finals, too. Golden State, especially Draymond Green, pretty much on record is saying, we want to finish these guys right now. We want to finish them right now, get those 9 days that we need before the NBA Finals, and get right and get healthy. How about jungle legend Deontay Wilder? You heard him on the show last week. We talked up that fight. Did you see the bomb squad land a perfect punch? Have you ever heard a punch sound like that? And remember what my man said last week, that, hey, listen, I work in a business where you can legally kill somebody and get paid for it, so why shouldn't I do that? I thought that he did. I thought Dominic Brazil was dead. Want to get to that, too. At E Near the Falls tweets, Brooks isn't liked because he has the personality of a boiled potato. Yeah, because Tiger was so personable when he was dominating. Dude, my man gave the most boring interviews ever. He never said anything. So what are you going to tell me? I mean, you can tell me that he had a certain flair, a certain swagger, a certain it. Great. But if we're talking about personalities, you're going to tell me that Tiger had a better personality when he was dominating?
Good. My golf swing feels good. I like my chances.
That personality. Hey, Jim, kooky gear aside, Brooks Koepka is a freaking unit. He has quietly assumed the role of the next Tiger that the golf media has been so eager to fill. True in West LA. It's true. This guy's won 4 majors in his last 8 starts. Best run since Tiger was ripping off 7 out of 11. Yeah, Bruno Garrett 1 tweets, Jim, I didn't mean to blow it. I try to keep it between the lines, but it just came off the rails. Jet skiingly yours, DJ. Go Canes. Wow, man. The Rock is an empire. He's a legend. Go ahead and put some respect on that, too, while you're at it. Rome, that PGA finish was close. Made me sit down for a while and really focus. Signed, A-Rod on the throne. Taylor in Lexington, Kentucky. And there is that photo, too. Well aware of it. 1-800-636-8686. All right, we'll take a short time out. When we come back, actor, comedian Kevin Hart joins me, Travis Schlenk, top of hour number 2. The sun is out. The temperature is heating up, which means it is finally grilling season. This season, eat like the party never ends with Kingsford. Grill burgers, chicken, corn, brats, ribs, all kinds of food with that mouth-watering, dyed-and-gone-to-heaven flavor that only Kingsford can fire up. So pick up a bag of Kingsford charcoal at your local retailer and start something big. It's not a party if you're not eating good, and you're not eating good unless you're eating food good with Kingsford.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You're in.
What's cracking? Welcome back. A tremendous Monday to you. All right, as promised, we are joined right now by a comedian and an actor and the greatest player in the history of the NBA All-Star Celebrity Game, a 4-time MVP. His latest special, Kevin Hart, Irresponsible, is available right now on Netflix, and he is the star of Secret Life of Pets 2, which is going to be in theaters on June 7th. My guest is Kevin Hart. Kevin, good to have you on the program. How are you?
How you doing, man?
Good, dude. Hey, listen, I got to start by asking you, in particular, how are you? And I'm talking about your hip, because you posted an Instagram video over the weekend. Dude, you went down hard dancing at a wedding reception. How you feeling this morning?
Well, you know, my hip is seeing better days, but I'm fine. Mentally, I'm okay, and that's what it's about. It's about having a strong mental about the fall. You know, falling is the easy part. Getting up is the hard part. Because that's where your pride gets tested. And what I was able to do is not only get up, but get up with confidence and make people see that I was still the young spring chicken that I used to be.
My man, didn't hurt Kevin Hart. That's great. Hey, listen, there's a little more to the story, though, because you are a skilled dancer, and when you went to your trademark heel toe move, your shoes completely blew out. It was like a Zion Williamson shoe blowout. If those defective shoes do not blow out like that, there's no way you hit the deck, right?
No. I've been doing the heel-to-toe hop for the years. It's actually my signature move. The world knows it. What you do is there's a heel-toe move, a hop, and then you switch to the left. When I went to switch to the left, what happened, my foot got from under me. The reason why is because the heel on my shoe blew out. This is factual information, which is why I posted a video showing the world the heel on my shoe. It blew out. Now, I'm not saying that I probably wouldn't have went down if it didn't blow out, but I'm saying that I know I went down because it blew out. I'm an amazing dancer. I've been offered tons of backup dancing early on in my career before I got successful. I was offered Broadway. There was multiple things have come my way. So for me to go down like that from a dance move is very, very unusual. It's just unusual. That's all I'm saying.
Dude, it's really unusual. There was no way that was going to happen. Hey, go back to the mental part of this thing. Kevin, like, you made a point recently that it's not cool to be happy. It's actually cool to be negative. Can you break that down for me? Why do you think it's cool to be negative?
Well, what I was doing a podcast, and I was saying the style of the generation today thinks it's cool to be negative. They don't think it's cool to be happy. People think that it's cool to just be angry and negative and just say bad things on a consistent basis. I said that's what our generation has fallen in love with. They fall in love with negativity. And I said I personally can't understand that because I thrive off of positivity. So the only way to combat any type of negativity is to be ultra positive. So for the generation today, you just got to hit him with happiness. You got to hit them with nonstop happiness because these people thrive off of darkness, off of negative. I can't do it, sir. It's not how I'm raised. It's not how I'm built. I like to smile.
Kevin Hart joining us on the program. I have no argument with that at all. Listen, it's been a little over a week since Kawhi Leonard, Kevin, ended Philadelphia's season. How you doing with that? Have you gotten over that shot?
That hurt, man. That hurt. I went into a little, I went into a dark place. And nightmares, cold sweats, the shakes. It was tough for me because I felt that this was the season that we were going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I really did, and I felt that we had a legitimate chance of getting to the finals. It was cut short, but I think our future is bright. I think that it's a great learning lesson, and I think that it's only going to make us better. But it really made me have to. I got to respect Kawhi Leonard. I mean, we've seen this man play for years, but I don't think we've seen him at this level. He's literally playing the best basketball of his career. So I think for me, it's just realizing that the Sixers went down, but we went down by one of the best superstars in the game, playing at his peak. So I found a positive in it, and I wiped my tears, blew my nose, and said I'm just looking forward to next season.
We are talking to Kevin Hart. Now, Kevin, if we're talking Philly sports, you and I have not caught up since the Eagles won the Super Bowl. When you consider the fact that people were literally eating horse crap to celebrate that moment, is there anything that could ever top that as the greatest moment in Philadelphia sports history?
I think the Sixers. I think the Sixers getting to the finals and winning the finals. That's just as overdue. When you talk about Philadelphia and you talk about sports, you're looking at a city that eats, sleeps, and breathes it. We love our home teams. We love our sports, man. And I think to capture a finals, especially the NBA finals, to capture that championship, it doesn't get bigger or better than that, man. That'll set the city on fire. I mean, the last time that we came close when AI and the Lakers were in the championship, and we won. I think we won the game one. Like when I tell you the feeling of the city and feeling like we were close, I remember those years because we felt like we were close and we didn't get it. So to get that feeling and to have that energy starting to bubble again is huge. So I think when that happens, which it will. In these next three seasons, I feel like we really do have a shot. You're going to see me in Philadelphia, and I may eat some horse poop. I may have to. I may have to.
You got to.
If we win it, it might have to go down. I may have to go and just taste a little batch of horse manure. That's what happens in the city.
Dude, you slam that manure, Sando. It'll be awesome. Kevin Hart joining us. And Kevin, you got a special on Netflix. Kevin Hart, Irresponsible. You've got Secret Life of Pets 2. And you recently wrapped up Jumanji. You are a YouTube mogul. You've got a vitamin line. You've got all these projects going on right now. It's got to be exhausting work creating and then promoting all of this. So what keeps you motivated? What gets you out of bed every single morning?
Well, I'll tell you what gets me out of bed. What gets me out of bed is knowing that I can still do more. You know, and I think the best way to do more is to make sure that your mental is right. Hence, that's where my multivitamin Vita Hustle comes in. I'm not saying that you guys should take it. I'm just saying that you should know about it. It's only the best multivitamin on the market, okay? But that being said, that puts me in the mental. That gives me the energy, the focus, the recovery that I need. Now I'm attacking my days. These days are full of publicity. For example, right now I'm promoting Secret Life of Pets 2. That's going to drop. And you know what? It's going to be amazing. It's a family movie for everybody. And while that's happening, I'm prepping to film my next movie, Fatherhood, which I start doing mid-June. It's another drama. That drama is something that I'm very excited about because I get to shine a light on positivity. Okay, I get to shine a light on fatherhood for all these men out here that know and need to understand how important it is and why we should value the opportunity of being the best possible father that we can be. Now, after I'm done doing that, what do I have to do? Well, I got to start prepping for another TV show. Can't tell you what it is because it's a big one, but I'm doing something huge for my company, Heartbeat Productions. Then I get done that, I got Co-Parenting. That's another movie that we're going to start shooting. And then when I'm done that, I go into marketing and promo for Jumanji. It doesn't stop, and I don't want it to stop because the goal is to be a mogul. And the only way to be a mogul is to have a mogul mindset and understand that you can do all that you want to do if you do the work. Kevin Hart does the work.
Kevin Hart does the work. Kevin, listen, on that last topic about doing the work, look, what I'm hearing from you is you got to be right with your mental game. You've got to recover. You've got to rest. And you got to lock in. But you've become a role model to people for your grind, for your hustle. Who are your role models when it comes to hustle and grind?
I think my biggest role model is my angel. That's Nancy Hart. Nancy Hart, my mother, rest in peace. I don't think they get better, you know. You're looking at a woman that did all that she could to make sure that we had what we needed. And you know, our roughest days in her eyes were some of the best. Her grind is what I live by today. Outside of her, I got to go Dwayne The Rock Johnson. That's another hustler. I mean, he's a guy that's never satisfied, that goes after it, and that does a great job of being a positive example to the generation that's here now. You know, from my fellow comedians out there, from my Dave Chappelle to the Chris Rocks to Seinfeld, you know, my comedic brothers that just never stop growing and building and reforming and always just becoming another version of themselves. Those guys inspire me on a daily basis. You know, when I look at these movie studios and production companies, you know, my partners at Universal motivates me because they do so much. That company is so successful, and the fact that I can say I'm a partner makes me want to gain the same success that they have, if not more. So I love surrounding myself by great people, and when you do that, it has no choice but to wear off. You become a sponge, and you're just soaking it up. You're soaking it up. Jay-Z, Beyonce, that energy, that level of success, that level of hunger, I love it. Rihanna, I love it. I love to see people win. I love to see people do the undoable. It makes me want more.
Kevin Hart, comedian, actor, the latest special, Kevin Hart Irresponsible, is available right now on Netflix, and the star of Secret Life of Pets 2 is going to be in theaters on June 7th. Kevin, so good to get caught up. Appreciate that. Love the energy and the positive message. Great to have you back, Kevin.
Always good talking to you, man. Thank you, guys. Don't forget, Secret Life of Pets, June 7th. Take your kids, take your family. It's a movie for everybody.
Nice job, Kevin. Great talking to you. That's Kevin Hart. All right. That's the way you start off a week. My thanks to Kevin Hart. I've got a bottom of the update or a bottom of the hour sports update for you. The first one of this program. Here is the very latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If you know this show, you know that now is the time to ask the pros. Welcome back. We do this every Monday. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question there. I will answer one of them later on today. And in the meantime, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I haven't spoken to Kevin Hart in a little while, but I'm not surprised by the way he showed up. Always shows up like that. He does grind. He's got his hustle on. And you know that when he does something like that, he's probably in the middle of a junket, probably in the middle of just knocking out a bunch of those things. I love the way he shows up. Every single time, 1-800-636-8686. Also, his whole take that negativity is cool, being positive is not. You got to hate on something to get anybody's attention. He said, I'm not doing it like that. I'm not going through life like that. I'm going to still remain positive and do it my way, which is solid. Which brings me to Magic Johnson. Have you seen Magic is still yapping? Magic is gone and Magic is still talking. And it's starting to come out slowly as to why he left when he left. Now he's talking about how that Rob Lowe lookalike was backstabbing him and didn't like what he was saying about him behind his back. Irv, I mean, you realize that you had all the power, right? You realize that that guy reported to you, right? You realize you had the authority to do whatever you wanted. You could have stopped that so-called betrayal. You understand that, right, Irv? I'll give him this. He did own that he jacked up that Brook Lopez situation. I'll give him that, I guess. My man, never change. Keep talking, keep tweeting, keep doing you. Keep telling us things that we already know about basketball and just keep doing what you do. I mean, the way this kind of like slips out a little bit. Yeah, I didn't really like the way things were going on there. I didn't like what he said behind my back. All right, so why don't you pull him into your office, look him in the eye, and tell him you don't like what he's saying behind your back. It is the Magic Show. We are 32 days off until the smack off. Mike in Indy came out of the woodwork on Friday. I want to reset that. I've got thoughts on it. That's a positive development, potentially. All right, so let me go back to last week, too. Now, as most of you know, this show, this radio program, is also a simulcast on TV, on CBS Sports Network. So there are a lot of visuals for the program, especially if you use the program that way. At the same time, it is a radio show, so it's always going to be an audio medium. And sometimes the sounds tell you everything you need to know about a moment. As an example, take this sound from the Rockies and Phillies game on Saturday afternoon. Bryce Harper digs in. Then Bryce Harper does this.
Out to center field. Wow.
Uh-oh.
That was loud.
Mole.
Uh-oh. Gone. On to Expert Allen.
Yes, sir.
Over the second wall.
All right, so that sound, Alvin, I don't know if you had a chance to isolate that sound, but that sound, you hear that sound, and you don't even need to see the ball. You know where the ball is going. You know the ball is gone, and you know it's like a country mile. You can tell from that.
Center field. Wow.
Uh-oh.
One more time.
Out to center field.
Great sound.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
Let me give you another sound. Like this one from the Deontay Wilder-Dominic Brazil fight on Saturday night. Deontay Wilder hauls back, and Deontay Wilder does this.
Brazil survives his first taste of adversity.
See the firepower of Wilder. That punch landed on top of the head, not even on the chin or anywhere on the face. And Brazil was stumbling a little bit. But credit to Brazil for having the character to throw with him. And, oh.
Man, I hope you saw that. I hope you have seen that punch. So they're giving him credit for surviving the early barrage, the early adversity, and then bam! You hear that punch, you don't even need to see Brazil hit the canvas. And you don't need the ref to count to 10 to know it's already a knockout. So those two cracks were two of the loudest cracks you'll ever hear, and they happened within hours of each other. Harper reportedly hit that ball 114 miles per hour. Deontay Wilder hit that skull even harder. And remember, last week he said that he would. Dante did say last week that if killing a guy in the ring is legal and they pay you to do it, why wouldn't you take advantage of it?
Hey, Dominique Brazil asked for this. I didn't go seek him. He seeked me. So if it comes, it comes. This is a brutal sport. This is not a gentleman's sport. I keep saying this is not a gentleman's sport. We don't ask to hit each other in the face, but we does in a way. And you can ask any doctor around the world, he'll tell you the head is not meant to be hit. Anybody can go. And on this particular time, we have bad blood against each other. This is the only sport where you can kill a man and get paid for it at the same time. It's legal. So why not use my right to do so?
It's the only sport where you can hit and kill a man, and it's legal. So why not take advantage of that? Why not use my right to do so? Why not do this?
Throw with him and push.
That genuinely was a holy crap moment. Like, I heard that, and I felt that. That punch was so hard, I was checking my own teeth. I was trying to stand up from my couch and get to my feet, and I couldn't after that punch. And he didn't connect with me. A totally legal punch, and for a moment, I thought that he'd actually legally killed Brazil. No joke. That's how fierce that punch was. And credit to Dominic for eventually getting to his feet and actually sort of, kind of, nearly beating the count. And by nearly beating the count, I mean he was able to get to his feet on the same day that Wilder broke his face. Almost any other person on the planet gets hit like that, and they're going to nap it out for about a month. Now, I know that fight barely made it 2 minutes, but if you're one of those people who bought Showtime just to see that fight, I know you're not asking for your money back. That knockout, in and of itself, not only will be one of the best of the year, one of the best of all time. That knockout was worth an entire year's subscription fee. That's how good that knockout was. I mean, holy crap, that happened on Saturday night, and I'm still not right. I'm still buzzing from that knockout. Look, there's never going to be another Mike Tyson in his prime, but that had me flashing back to Mike Tyson in his prime. That had me going back to the good old days when dudes were getting dropped by sledgehammers. 2 minutes, 17 seconds in, and that fight was over. And remember, Deontay told me last week, mandatory challengers are like flies. And he just swatted that fly into oblivion. As an example, Anthony Joshua needed 7 rounds to deal with Dominic Brazil. Wilder barely needed 7 seconds. Now, I'm not saying that Deontay is the perfect boxer. I mean, far from it. He'd be the first to tell you that. But he's everything you want in a boxer, especially in a heavyweight, especially in the heavyweight champion. He's exactly what you want. He talks a great game. He loves the sport. He comes to fight, and he's not just looking to win. He's looking to win a certain way. He's looking to put somebody to sleep. He's looking to close out the show. He knows when the heavyweight champion of the world puts on the belt, he's the baddest man on the planet. At least he's supposed to be. And Wilder knows this about that belt, and he knows about the crown on his dome. He's looking to put on a show, and if the other guy happens to leave in a body bag, so be it. Finally, when it was all said and done, Wilder said, quote, "Everything just came out of me tonight. I know it's been a big buildup to this fight. There was a lot of animosity, a lot of chaos. There was a lot of hatred between us, and there were a lot of words that were said. It just came out tonight, and this is what makes boxing so great." End quote. That's true. And as for all that talk about the WBC having an ethics hearing over Wilder saying that he wants to legally kill Brazil, Wilder said afterwards that he actually loves Brazil. Quote, "I had so much inside, I had to endure, and I had to overcome, even with the training. There were many times my body was hurting. I just told Brazil, I love him. And of course, I want to see him go back to his family. I know we say some things we mean sometimes, but then when you get into a fight and you settle your differences as men and you hold these gloves, this is what this sport is all about." End quote. Man, that's the truth. The sport is all about that. And I am truly glad that Wilder didn't actually kill Brazil, because for a moment there, I wasn't really sure. For a moment there, I thought the dude might be dead.
Having the character to throw with him and... Oh,
what
I mean, I thought that dude was dead on his back. The fact that he even got up and almost sort of kind of nearly beat that count, much less the same day that he got punched in the face, is a miracle. Throw with him and that's how it used to be. That's how heavyweight boxing used to be. That's how that division used to be. That's what you expect to see when you see heavyweights. And my man Deontay, he has got some kind of crazy punching power. Outweighed by considerably. But you land that shot, you'll be rewarded, and he did. Throw with him and this is why this guy runs around telling everybody he's part of the bomb squad. Because he does things like that. Love it. Did you watch the fight? Did you pay for that fight? Did you buy Showtime just to see that fight? Do you feel like you got money's worth? And there's some other great fights out there for him. He's not done yet. 1-800-636-8686. And then if you are joining us late at the top of the program, I talked about Brooks Koepka and the fact that considering what he's done, he's not getting the run that you'd expect, the love that you'd respect. I think partly because of the way he looks, partly because of his attitude. Listen, I want to say this again. This is not one of those silver spooners. This dude is gritty as hell. This guy embraces the grind. He was not a top college prospect. He had to cut his teeth on the European tour. Hey, golf fan, if you really are about the sport, embrace the guy. He's getting looser. He's trying. He was talking last week that he actually is enjoying dealing with the press a little bit more, opening up a little bit more. The guy's loosening up. If he can get looser, so should you, because he's not going anywhere for a long time. On Twitter, at Headstrom Bacon tweets, nice that a boxer these days can say he's literally going to kill his opponent, then following the fight, hug and kiss the man as if nothing was said. I do like that. I get that. There's a fundamental respect there that if you're going to step in, I mean, not to be a cliche about it, but if you're going to step in the squared circle and put your life on the line, there's a fundamental respect, or hopefully should be, between gladiators. And again, my man is promoting and selling a fight, all right? Did he really, really want to kill Brazil? I doubt it. But did it not get your attention? Were you not more interested in the fight when you heard the heavyweight champion of the world say, you know, listen, as part of my business, I can legally kill a guy and not get in trouble and still get paid, so why would I not take advantage of that?
This is the only sport where you can kill a man and get paid for it at the same time. It's legal. So why not use my right to do so?
That's how you promote a fight. I was going to watch it no matter what, but he really had my attention after he said that. A Table Slam fan tweets, Jim, we agree with Kevin Hart. It's never cool to be negative or mean to people. Thanks. Signed, the clones discussing overweight celebrities and athletes who look like rats. Rome, we're fans of Koepka. We think he's exciting as hell. Signed, C-SPAN, Knitting, and Math. I don't know. When I look at that guy, I don't see it that way. I see a guy who's got an amazing story. A guy who had to grind it out. A guy who was not a top college recruit. A guy who made himself this. Yeah, Rome, but he's not Tiger Woods. You could try and tell me Tiger Woods had more personality than that. Take away the red mock and him fist pumping. What personality are you talking about? You act like you knew him. And were you not shocked when you found out what that guy really was like? What that guy really was about? You know, you can keep pushing back on Koepka. Just know that he's not going anywhere for a long, long time. I don't know. How about you root for the results and not the personality? How badly hooked were all of you by the cat? You thought you knew who this guy was, and you couldn't have been more wrong. I mean, this is what I'm hearing. Hey, Rome, look at Koepka. Look at this guy's personality. What do you expect us to embrace? Oh, all right. Because you knew Tiger Woods so well. You could not have been more wrong about the guy you thought you knew. So what you're telling me is you're not really interested in incredible golf. Just somebody who you think is cool. All right. But never crack on a guy for not winning the big one then. When we come back, Travis Schlenk, Atlanta Hawks GM, joins me next.